He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we're here with chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite. We do have a big week coming up with the big midterm election tomorrow, CPI report later this week. And I would say because of that, the market's off to a very cautious tiptoe kind of start here to the new week. The Dow is up 118 points right now. That's about 0.4 of 1%. It's at 32,521. The S&P is up about 9 points right now, a little bit. It's up 23 basis points, 37.79. The NASDAQ is just barely, it's in the green right now by 11 points, 10,484. The Russell 2000 small cap index is down a little bit. Crude oil is down 32 cents, but it finished up the week on a very strong note last week, ending at $92.29. That's the highest we've seen oil for quite some time. Gold is up $6.70 at $16.83, and I don't know what got into silver all of a sudden. Silver just exploded towards the end of last week, and it's following through again today on pretty good breakout. Silver all of a sudden is at $21.05. It's up 27 cents today. The 10-year, 4.18. Bitcoin down $541. So welcome to today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we're starting off a new week, Barry, I would say on a fairly cautious note here with not only the big election tomorrow, but we get a CPI report later this week.
Yep, and it's interesting, too, if you look at, you know, we're now, I think, at the most days above 4% on the 10-year Treasury. So if you look back at kind of, you know, where we touched that 4% number and then kind of, you know, peaked out and then actually came back under 4, well, we're, you know, consistently above 4 the last 3 days, actually going up about 3 basis points today. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the market, you know, kind of gets used to, say, a number above 4 for an extended period of time. And like you said, having the CPI number coming out on Thursday, that's going to could keep that number elevated above 4. You know?
Well, and if it follows the pattern of all the CPIs that have come out in the Eurozone lately, they've come out hotter than expected.
And it's so, looking for a 6.5, probably a 6.5 on the core, and about a 7.9 looks about to be what the you know, average consensus is at the moment. Of course, if it came in 7.9, it'd be a tad bit under the 8.2 from the last reading, but
yeah.
Still a high note. Still not anywhere close.
It's hard
to
for me to imagine it going down below 8 because you know, gasoline prices and oil prices have been at it. Well, anyways, the S&P 500 was down about 3% last week. It really went down on the day that the Fed chairman lowered or raised interest rates by 75 points, then lowered the boom on the dovish December theory, which was a rumor, and the market was trading on that rumor. It does that from time to time. Now it's trading on a rumor out of China, a rumor that they're going to you know, relax their zero COVID policy. But once again, it's a rumor. I mean, I would not be trading or buying or selling on these rumors that come around. You want a little more solid evidence than that. China has been completely unpredictable here in 2022. So yeah, two big items to this week. Tomorrow, kind of be glad to get it over with, you know, behind us. It's all anybody talks about on TV are the elections. And it's going to be over tomorrow. Well, it won't be over tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. It's going to drag on and on, and neither side's going to be happy. It's going to be a no-win kind of thing, because if there's a red wave, one side's not going to be happy. And if there's not a red wave, the other side's not going to be happy. And the division just continues to grow between the two sides here in America. Now, here's the biggest story for me today. I was shocked when I saw this morning, but then again, I'm not shocked because I did the same thing on Friday. Okay, on Saturday morning, actually, in Friday's newsletter, I looked at all of the S&P 500 companies. 80% of the S&P 500 companies have now reported earnings. Okay, so we have a very solid feel for this year for sure. And we have a pretty good look because most of these companies, almost all of them, give some kind of vision into the next year. They call that guidance. So I feel pretty good about the estimates that are out there on the street right now, at least from the S&P 500, the companies themselves. But the consensus estimate is pretty much a big lagging kind of number. Because not all of these are current, okay? You might have estimates in that consensus that were put out a month ago, 2 months ago. And they're part of the equation when you average all of these numbers. And I've been quite a bit lower than the estimates on the street for, I don't know, several months now. And they keep heading in my direction, okay? Well, on Friday, I put out my latest estimates, which were quite a bit lower than where the consensus is for the street. And today, Goldman Sachs, okay, this happened November 5th. Would that have been? Maybe they put it out late in the day on Friday. Okay, I didn't see it until today because I look at the news between radio shows and when we begin the show, I've looked at all the news for the day. So this came out sometime on Friday, I guess. Goldman cuts its forecast for 2023 to zero earnings growth. Okay, that's even more draconian, Barry, than where I went with my forecast. So let's just see what those numbers would be. Well, they'd be the same as this year, okay? And this year's number is, I want to say, right around $225. Per share. I'm just scrolling down here in my newsletter to get to that macro outlook that I put out on Friday. Goldman actually went just a little bit lower than I did. I wanted to go a little lower, but I kind of erred on the side of optimism just a little bit, but Goldman didn't. Okay, the estimates for next year, for all of 2023, well, 5.9%, okay, was 5.9%. I'm not at that. The estimate for this year is $221 per share. Goldman came out with their estimate of the same, $221 per share for next year. Okay, so now you multiply that, let's just say 17, okay, let's just pick the average P.E., $22 times 17, that means their target price is around $3,500 for next year, 2022. And the year after that, they are a little bit lower than I am also on that. And their target price way down the road is $4,000. Okay, that's my target price, I think, is $4,000 and change. So I was kind of shocked that things had deteriorated that badly. Yeah, mine is $4,075, and they're at $4,000. So the consensus isn't at $4,000. The consensus is still about $4,700, but the consensus is wrong. I mean, if you're going off of the consensus, it's wrong. And Goldman Sachs this morning does a draconian cut to their earnings forecast for next year. There will be zero growth in earnings. next year. So if the market follows earnings, okay, I've witnessed that over the last 23 years. And if the multiple has come down, I mean, the multiple is pretty much settled where it's going to settle. You know, it's at 16.5 right now from 23.
You need rates to move down in a significant manner for that PE to potentially widen, which it's hard to envision that.
And what's the chance of rates going down? Instead, it looks like they're going to go higher, and you might see the PE come down into the 15 range, or you need the companies to blow away the earnings estimates that are out there on the street right now. So, like I say, we remain in a defensive posture right now. There are some good areas of the market, however. There always are some aisles of the stock market supermarket that are doing better than others. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I just want to add a little more color to Goldman Sachs' comments, and we'll move on to the other stories. They say following a weak third quarter earnings season, well, I gave it a grade of C-. That's weak. They gave it a grade of weak, all right? They said that net margins declined year over year for the first time since the pandemic, and that's basically due to the inflation picture. We lower our EPS forecast for 2022 to $224 from $226, okay? We only have a little under 2 months left in 2022. They lower their 2023 forecast to 224 from 234. They took their forecast down $10 per share. That's, at a PE multiple of 16, that's 160 points to the S&P 500. And 2024, I've seen a lot of estimates out there around 250 or so for 2024. They go clear down to $237. They're down there where I'm at from 243. These revised estimates reflect annual growth. It's 7% this year when all is said and done versus last year, 0% next year, and a paltry 5% in 2024. They said our top-down estimates are below bottom-up consensus forecast. We maintain a year-end 2022 and 2023. They think the market will end at 3,600 this year and 4,000 next year.
That's a pretty big move.
Yes, and I remember when the consensus estimate was 5,300 out there on the street, and now nobody's over 5,000. I would say the highest numbers out there right now are maybe 4,700.
Yeah, and those are probably the ones who updated their numbers last.
Yeah, I mean, now you got this whole new batch of earnings, of actual earnings that have come in. And so we have a much better picture right now. 85% of the S&P 500 companies have reported. 71% beat their revenue estimates. That's kind of below. You know, usually you're more up in that 80% range. The estimated earnings for this quarter now, third quarter of 2022, is just 2.2% versus the same comparable quarter last year. Now we're down to just 30. We have 30 more S&P 500 companies that are scheduled to report this week. It seems to me like, the last few weeks have been really bad. When you get down into kind of the second and third tier stocks, I just saw a lot of disasters, especially if I were to pick a couple sectors that were really shocking. The cloud, the software sector was really shocking.
Chip makers too.
And the chip companies. The surprises, I mean, the only margin expansion, you can probably guess which sector saw fatter profit margins than normal, and that was the energy sector.
Yeah, and it's surprising. I mean, real, you know, kind of big tech, how they've been, really a bellwether just in terms of, you remember them being referred to as defensive stocks to a certain extent, and during, a lot of the 2010s and even, pre-COVID, but they've really, really taken one on the chin this earnings season, I think, just in terms of things finally catching up with them. I
mean, fanged.
Yeah, well, and you had Apple have, they had 6% headwind for revenue in terms of just currency.
Yes,
so
okay.
That's a huge headwind, 6% growth right there.
Massive layoffs coming at Twitter, like half the force. Meta is going to announce massive layoffs. They had a disastrous earnings report.
Amazon just stopped, just did a hiring freeze for, I think, mid-level corporate management or something of that nature. So,
yep, I'm not real wild on tech. I mean, in fact, the of all the indexes, the NASDAQ by far continues to look the worst. Now, let's just go overseas for a minute. Copper, iron ore rally on ramped up hopes for China COVID reopening. Now, once again, I mean, there's nothing concrete here. There is a rumor, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard these rumors that China is going to soften their stance on their COVID lockdowns, but that is no reason. Their stock market has been pummeled. Now, last Thursday and Friday, you had a couple of really big days in the Chinese markets, which you do from time to time. When someone floats a rumor that it usually around COVID. It's usually around COVID. Okay, now, Bank of America said Friday that they see the big low. When is that low going to happen? When is the bottom going to happen? I've had people ask me if I think that the elections will put in a bottom. Will the market like having the GOP in charge of the Senate and the House, will that make any difference in the market? I don't think so. I don't think the election, other than...
Well, I think the market's kind of priced some of that in.
Absolutely.
It's been, you kind of view, at least the consensus view, is that you're going to have, the Republicans, at least take, House and or Senate, right? And so you're going to have some form of gridlock, more gridlock than you have right now. After the election cycle. Now, how big is that gridlock, right? I think that's really the one thing that the market, doesn't know. But I think it's been priced in pretty much.
I do too. Okay, now Bank of America, they see the bottom in spring of next year. Well, I don't know how they predict that, but, they're looking at waves or whatever. They think the period between March and May of next year for equities to reach the bottom. So they don't – this is Bank of America. Now, this is Merrill Lynch.
And recession talk has been pushed off to, 2023. You've got a lot of your bigger investment banks that are, kind of predicting recession or close to it in 2023 as well. So.
Well, here's how they predict that the shoe, two shoes to drop. They argue that the Federal Reserve will need to see the economy dip into a recession before it can end its tightening cycle. Well, okay, so we're at least two quarters away from that because we just had a positive quarter. At that point, they say, then equities can enter into a bull market. So they're looking for a recession. They're looking for two down quarters in a row, and the Federal Reserve's going to say, wow, we're driving the economy here into a recession. We're going to have to back off, and then a new bull market begins. That's according to Merrill Lynch. So you don't have very bullish reports out from two of the biggest firms, Bank of America and Goldman Sachs, probably the two biggest on Wall Street. You don't have very positive reports out. Okay, Apple warned over the weekend. The company blamed COVID restrictions in China, which have led to production delays.
Yeah, iPhone City is under lockdown, basically.
Yeah, where's that rumor of them letting the people go back to work? Meta Platforms many thousands. They're expected to announce a layoff of many thousands. When we come back, we'll just take a look at the social media landscape right now. which has been totally turned upside down. And that's a big driver also in that NASDAQ. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show on a week where we have a big midterm election and we have the CPI report coming in later this week. We're 85% of the way through earnings season. One of the highlights or lowlights for me was the state of the social media companies. You had to start off with Snap. Okay, Snap lost, it went down. Snap just got absolutely
80%. I think it was like, I know it had like a, you know, essentially 80% since the beginning of the year at least.
And Snap.
And that was one of the first shoes to drop in terms of, you know, in terms of social media. They saw, you know, kind of ad spending fell off, you know, very fast. And previously to that, remember, they were kind of, hampered by the Apple update, so they kind of got a double whammy, not to mention higher interest rates.
Yep, and then you had Google, which is you know, search engines and whatnot. They had and advertising out there on social media had a very poor report. Okay, and then you had Meta, Facebook, which had a disastrous report, absolutely disastrous. And that's part of taking the NASDAQ down.
Burning cash in the metaverse, you know. That's ad spending down and you know, they've got a huge capital spend going on in terms of, you know, trying to build out whatever the metaverse is.
Yes. Well, yes.
Y'all let me know. Let me know when you figure it out.
Profitable. And then, of course, you had Amazon, which isn't social media, but just had a terrible report. It was down 21% at one point in time on that day. And then, of course, you had Twitter. Okay, we know that he's laying off about half of Silicon Valley's going to see a pretty big exodus of people.
And that's going to, I mean, he's taking that company private.
So, taking it private.
That one will be, you know, off the board anyway. So.
Yep, and then you got a new entrant. It's up today. It's DWAC, which is Trump's social truth media. And, of course, he's floating rumors. It's up 21% today as he floats rumors that he's going to announce his bid, another bid, probably after he sees what happens here with this midterm. So, yeah, the social media landscape has just been totally turned upside down. It is being overhauled. And I got a hunch. I don't think that Elon Musk is going to keep Twitter. It's kind of hard to move his, he's got Tesla, a manufacturing facility there in California. That's kind of hard to move. But Twitter, it's just renting some office space somewhere in Texas close to his other office space. And speaking of office space, this is kind of shocking to me. Over one-third of U.S. small businesses unable to pay their full rent in October. So they're feeling the crunch.
Yeah, that's disconcerting there.
That's very disconcerting. And I've been saying that, you know, one of the hardest hit areas of the market has been the real estate sector. And there's a lot of REITs. There's a lot of REITs that own office buildings. And not only, I mean, this is a double whammy. Not only are people working from home nowadays, but the companies that are renting space are behind on their rent. Only over one-third of U.S. small businesses unable to pay their full rent in October. That's very, that's alarming, okay? Now, we talk about all the money that Exxon has been making. I see the stock is hitting a new high today. Exxon is up, I think, 78% this year. It was up about 53% this year. They're going to lose $2 billion on a sale of troubled California oil properties. I'm sure they're glad to get rid of any California oil properties off the coast where an oil spill halted operations in 2015. So that will be a one-time write-off against their earnings. And we do have some earnings today. Okay, there's Dino has reported. That is Sinclair, HF Sinclair. And, you know, if you've ever traveled in Nevada or you see the dinosaur, you know,
yeah,
Utah, Colorado.
Yeah, mountains in Tennessee actually have at least one station there. It's one of the cooler logos, right?
Yep, the dinosaur, HF Sinclair, which is headquartered in Dallas. That stock is almost hitting a new high. That's been kind of the that's been the sector of the year. What can I say? It had a big fall recently, you know, maybe 2-3 months ago when he started releasing the oil from the reserves. And
demand concerns in terms of potential recession, and then of course, you know, COVID.
Now you're back to 92.
Right?
So Sinclair, they beat by 36 cents. We own Sinclair, Dino. The coal stocks, few coal stocks in the news, and of course, there's big elections coming up in Ohio. Where you've got, you know, a long-serving incumbent there in the Senate who is behind in the polls. And, of course, that's a big coal state. And I know President Biden came out pretty strongly against coal. And then the other big coal state is Pennsylvania. Those are probably two of the most hotly contested. I think Pennsylvania is the most hotly with Fetterman versus Dr. Oz, and he had some earnings out of the coal stocks. They've actually done pretty well. Alpha Metallurgical, AMR, beats earnings and beats revenue. But you got to say the long-term forecast and outlook for these companies is not all that good. Now, we will be taking a look here in the final segment of the show of what is working in the market. It's kind of a very cautious day. You have a lot of unknowns. There's some big question marks. There's a big question mark hanging over tomorrow, Tuesday. And I would predict that there's going to be some of those races that take days, even weeks, to decide. And
I think you've got Georgia to potentially will have a, you know, in some of their races will have a, you know, they'll have to, you know, run again because I think, but you got to have it's a 50% majority.
Yeah,
there
could be some reruns.
Yeah, so you might have a runoff later. So, you know, there's a few pieces to the equation where we're likely to not know a day or two after the election, but it'll sort itself out. Nothing we're not used to at this point, I guess.
The thing we do know is there will be a ton of contention. The lawyers are lined up. I think it's going to get ugly. I really do. And I don't think the stock market, I mean, that rattles the market. The market, I think, is going to be pretty cautious after the election. Then you get later in the week with the CPI report. And I just think that the market's kind of in hold mode right now. Now, from a technical point of view, all right, the bear market is still in place. The bear market is nothing more than a trend line, a primary trend line that is headed down, and it's been headed down since last fall, and it continues to head down, and everybody is waiting for some kind of a bottom to be put in to the S&P, which is down about 22-23% from its all-time high. The NASDAQ's down about 35% from its all-time high. That's quite a bit of damage. One-third of some of these tech funds out there, and some of the tech funds have lost 50-60%. Of their assets, just where's that money go? Poof, it's gone. It's evaporated. So, you know, Bank of America, they're weighing in saying, yeah, you know what, maybe next spring. And that's probably the question I get asked the most. Do you think the market has bottomed here? It looked like it had several months ago. We actually reversed course for a while and broke out to the upside. And that thing then just totally fizzled as oil prices started to head up again. And I think more than anything, the inflation reports continued to come in hot, much hotter than expected, not only here, but over in Europe. And then, you've got China. They've still got inflation floating around, and their economy is not doing that well right now. So it's hard for me to imagine. And then, of course, we had the rumor out there from the Wall Street Journal that he was going to turn dovish in December. And instead, on the day of the announcement, the market got absolutely taken to the cleaners, and the bond market really got taken to the cleaners. Okay, well, there's a lot moving here today. I'll pick out the highlights when we come back. We'll be in Sarasota next Tuesday and Wednesday, 855-611-BEST. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. And I'm just looking at the top percent gainers here today. And it's just like, you know what? The market is just going to kind of wait. It looks like until we get through some of the big events of this week. If there's any strength at all, the only halfway quality stock that I see making any kind of a percent gain here today is Meta. Meta's up 5.1%, and that's obviously on the news that there's going to be massive layoffs. Okay, so that's not the greatest of news, but obviously it will impact the bottom line. Be interesting to see, when Musk announced that he was going to lay off half of the people, they filed a suit against him. In California, apparently you have to give more than that. I don't know how much notice is required, like 90 days or 30 days. So there's a lawsuit currently against Musk for doing these layoffs. It'll be interesting to see if Zuckerberg, you would think he's going to get hit with the same thing if he goes with a massive layoff. Would I be a buyer of Meta? Down here, I would have to say no. Infamously, our friend Jim Cramer apologized to his listeners. I don't know how he could have been recommending Meta in the first place. But that, he runs some kind of subscription, I guess, some kind of subscription business or maybe just on his show. He was touting Meta. And then, of course, when the disaster hit, he actually went on the air and apologized for what had happened to the stock. He said, "I trusted the management, and they let me down." Okay, well, there's a couple of oil and gas. That's probably the next one here. That generally has been the best sector in the market. One area that I've seen, just from a technical point of view, you've had a big sell-off in natural gas. It probably was run up way too high to some giddy heights, but the fundamentals haven't really changed. You've still got a problem, especially in Europe, with natural gas, especially liquid natural gas. And the two ETFs that I keep an eye on, Boil is B-O-I-L. In our neck of the woods, isn't it Bold? Bold Peanuts, Barry, something like that.
Yeah.
We pronounce boiled. They pronounce boiled a little bit differently.
It depends on where you're at.
Yes,
boiled, a boiled peanut.
Yes, ProShares Ultra Bloom Natural Gas up 17.6% today. I think that's on the trading list, which I continue to show. Not boil, but I think the other one is UNG. UNG is popping today. You know, it built a really good bottom last week, just from a technical point of view. I'm just looking to see if it's on the list. I'm almost sure it is. Ah, no, I must have taken it off the list. Well, anyways, it's not on the list. But I have been saying that natural gas has put in a pretty good strong bottom. And now you're seeing it bounce pretty heavily. It's up 10.3% today. That's the one-to-one ETF that basically just trades on the price of natural gas delivered at the Henry Hub, which is in Louisiana. So natural gas prices up 10.9%. A lot of buying going on in that ETF, UNG. It got cut in half. Commodities are a very difficult area of the market. Very difficult. Trying to predict commodities. You've seen a really nice pop in commodities in the last week because of the rumors out of China. Well, those are rumors out of China. If China continues with their zero COVID policy, those things are going to go tumbling right back to where they started. So anyways, natural gas has a little bit different fundamentals there with what's going on in Europe. Okay, then you've got some oil stocks, Comstock Resources. Wow, that's a nice chart there. And, you know, a lot of these lean to the natural gas side of the aisle. CRK is a pretty big winner here today in the market. It's up 14.8%. That's probably an earnings report. Then you've got Antero Midstream, which is AR. That's a nice breakout there. It's up 7.5% today. And then you've got Range Resources, RRC. That's another very nice breakout today. It's up 7.1%. And then a oil equipment stock, which is in the trading list today, Tidewater, TDW, is breaking out to a new 52-week high today. Tidewater, the oil equipment stocks, the oil equipment sector, which is, there's a couple ETFs, IEO, XES, those are oil equipment companies as opposed to the oil producers. Well, we'll be back in Sarasota. I'm flying down there Monday, going to spend Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning a little bit. Before I come home, and I know it was pretty full, but I've told Edie, you know, I don't want to turn anybody away. If there's if I got to stay an extra day, I will. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST to set an appointment. And the newsletter last week, I spent a lot of time on it because I had skipped a week in the newsletter. I really sharpened my pencil, narrowed the numbers down for the macro outlook for the market. I showed all the changes that I've made, if there were any, in the portfolios that we managed. If you'd like to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, it only goes out to clients and subscribers of ours. But you can try it out for 2 weeks at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. And once you're in our database, I send out alerts from time to time. I've been sending out these trading lists just to get people through kind of the doldrums of the market right now. And that's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of big winners there on that trading list. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.